Here we go. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 to 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours, that's Jesus, is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, please give us ears to hear, give us minds to understand, and hearts to believe, and so lives to live out this bit of the Bible, this bit of your word. Amen. Now remember where we are in Ephesians. Glance back with me to Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to imitate God because of what he has done for us. We're to live loving lives for God and for others above ourselves, all because of what he has done for us. That's what the first half of Ephesians is all about. If you're just joining us, you need to really go back over Ephesians. I'd encourage you to read all of Ephesians from the start, because these later verses, these later chapters only make sense if you've read what's gone before. And then verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Serve one another because of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is that he died for us and he gave us new life in him. And we get to live as children of God. We are adopted children of God because of Jesus. And these verses show us what that life looks like here and now. Last week we were looking at marriage. This week we're looking at families and workplaces. So first up, children. That is, children and teenagers. Let me ask you this question. You've got it on your sheets. Would you rather life went well with you or life went really badly with you? Tick that box, whichever one you think. Which would you rather, life went well with you or life went badly for you? Would you rather live a long life or would you rather live a short life? It's kind of silly, isn't it? It's kind of a bit of a silly question. And let me put it like this. Just imagine that you go to school. You go into school, you go to college, your teachers, your tutors, they're glad to see you. When you walk through the door, they're a big smile on their face. Hello, come on in. It's great to see you. You're given special responsibilities. You're given special privileges. You get to do things that other children can't do. Your teachers, they like having you in their class. Grown-ups that you know, they enjoy having you around. In fact, they look forward to it. They want to be with you. They want to spend time with you. And as you grow up, you go to university or you get a job, and you're trusted among your peers, your friends, your co-workers. People like having you around, and actually you're given responsibility there by your tutors or your employers. And maybe when you're older, if the Lord is willing, you look back on your life and you give thanks for lots of good things in it over many years. Does that sound like a good thing to you? Some of the adults are nodding. They're like, yes, that's what I would want. If it does, then have a look at verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Children, you are to honor and obey your parents in the Lord. That word obey, it means to do what they say. Honor, it means to treat them with respect. Think much of them. Can you see what is missing? There's no ifs. Obey your parents if you feel like it. Honor them if they're doing what you want to do. Obey them if they're agreeing with you on your choice of clothing. But don't obey them if they're not. It's not saying any of that, is it? It's saying, obey, honor. There is no condition, there is no ifs, there's no buts. There's no condition based on what you think, on what you feel. The only condition is this in the Lord. That is, unless your parents are telling you something and asking you to do something that directly and deliberately goes against something that God has said in here, in his words, if they're doing those things, that's the only time that you cannot, that you should not obey them. If they're not doing those things, if what they're saying isn't disagreeing with this, then you should obey them. No questions asked, no ifs or buts or maybes. Again, on your learning sheet, you can see, do you find this easy? You've got a scale that you can tick, you can put across whether you find it hard or easy to honor and obey. I'm pretty certain that most of us, to a certain degree, find this hard. Don't we, children? Don't we, teenagers? Don't we, adults? Look, we're still stuck with sin. We've been saved from the penalty of sin on the cross. God considers us free from sin in that way. We are being saved from the power of sin. The Holy Spirit is in us, and we're learning to say no to sin and yes to God. But we're still stuck with the presence of sin. We're in sinful bodies, with sinful hearts, with sinful minds. And that has a big impact, doesn't it? We're still stuck with sin. We find it hard to do these things. Now, you might know that obeying and honoring your parents is right, but you'll find that your heart finds this hard to do, especially when they're telling you to do something that you don't want to do. It's hard, isn't it? I know this. I was a child once, you know. You'll only understand how funny that is when you're grown up. Your heart finds this hard to do, even if you know what you want to do is wrong. This is how silly sin is that you know what you want to do is wrong, but you want to do it just because your parents are saying, don't do it. It's ridiculous. Now, we find this hard as adults and grown-ups too, but it's especially hard for you children and you teenagers because you're still learning how to use your heads and teenagers to control your hearts. And you'll carry on doing that into adulthood. This is why, back in Exodus and Deuteronomy, with the Ten Commandments, this commandment, honor and obey your parents, it has a promise. That is, it has a reason why you are to do it, why it is good and you should do it. Look with me, verses 2 and 3. Paul retells this promise. He says, honor your father and mother. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That phrase, it may go well with you. Grown-ups, put your hands up if you would like to spend time with a child who is respectful and honors you. There we go. That's what it means, that it go well with you. Grown-ups, we would rather spend time with children who honor and respect adults than those that don't. That's the reality of it. Now, by grace, we do spend time with those who are not nice to be with, but it's difficult. And that's why it will go well with you. People respond better to children who know how to treat adults, especially their parents, with respect. And that phrase, that it may live long, that you may live long in the land, that is, live long on the earth. Very simple example. Imagine two children are crossing the road with their mum or with their dad. And both parents say, "Don't step out, there's a bus coming." Now, who's going to live the longest? The child that obeys their parents, or the child that disobeys and steps out? Now, I say this very carefully because I know people where this has happened, and they've lost children. It's, in one sense, it's a silly example, but it's a very real example. If you disobey your parents, it will not go well with you. And if you disobey them in certain things, you will not live long on the earth. Children, you are to honor and obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Verse 1. God is king, and he has put your mummy and your daddy in charge. And so it is right for you to obey them. It is right for you to honor them. And generally speaking, life will be good and full and long, if the Lord is willing, because your parents have been there ahead of you and they do know what is best. But there is a bigger reason. And it's this. Because if you are trusting in Jesus, you are in the Lord. If your parents are trusting in Jesus, there is a sense that you are under their headship in the Lord. Think of all the good that the Lord has done to us. He made us. He's given us life, a good life on a good earth. We've ruined it. We've tainted it by sin. And so God has given us new life through Jesus. He's died for us. He's taken our sin upon us on the cross. He's given us new life in the resurrection. We have a new home, an eternity in heaven, and the new creation to look forward to, all because of Jesus. That's the kind of God who is speaking here. Why then do you think that God has got it wrong in these verses? Why do you think that he's trying to trick you in saying, honor and obey your parents? Don't listen to your old sinful self that's still in you and still battling against your new self in Christ. Your old self will say that God is out to spoil your fun. Your parents don't know what is best. That's probably the biggest one. Your parents don't know what's good for you. That's what your heart says. Don't listen to it. Look, your parents, they will make mistakes. But their desire is for you and what is best. So children, honor and obey your parents in the Lord. But actually, when you think about it, parents, adults, this is first for us, isn't it? I hope you haven't been sitting there elbowing your child going, "See, listen. This is you. This is you. Honor. Obey." Because this is first for you, I think. Because how are our children going to learn to obey and honor us unless we teach them? Unless we show them? Unless we encourage them? Just as our children find this hard, so do we, don't we? In today's world, loving discipline has become a bad thing. It just does my head in. The world we live in says to tell your child off and make them happy because you haven't let them have their own way. You're a bad parent. That's rubbish. Utter rubbish. Yeah, there might be like 0.5% of people who take it too far. But to lovingly discipline your child is a good thing because you want life to go well with them, don't you? You want their life to be long, don't you? Then teach them to obey you. Command them to honor you and show them why. Can the Lord be trusted in this? I'm asking this to us grown-ups. Can the Lord be trusted in this? Then set the expectation for your children that they honor and obey you, and that that is the best thing for them. And this starts pretty much from day one, when they're born. Actually, I encourage you to get your head right if you're expecting. If you're expecting your first, start thinking about how you're going to do this. Because it starts from day one, and it continues through to childhood, and especially into teenage years. Bring our children up in this way is something that parents in general are to do. But fathers in particular are to take the lead. Look with me at verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up to know and follow Jesus. Just as a little aside, which have a look at the screen, children. This is something for you to join in with. Have a look at the screen. Which of these is the odd one out, okay? Somebody who's just learnt to drive and pass their tests. Somebody who's got their pilot's license. Somebody who's become a father, got a newborn. And somebody that has just owned a gun legally, can legally own a gun. Which one is the odd one out? Who thinks, who thinks is the first one? Learning to drive. Who thinks it's the second one? Learning to fly. Who thinks it's the third one, being a parent? All the parents are like, yes. Who thinks it's the fourth one, owning a gun, legally? You are right. It is the fourth one. Do you know why? Yeah. Sorry, third one. Yeah, because all the rest you need a license for. Yet somehow you can become a father without a license. Look, all of those are potentially life-threatening if you get it wrong, aren't they? To them or to other people, if you get it wrong, it's life-threatening. Yet becoming a father is the only one that doesn't need a license. Now, I'm not saying that we should have licenses for fathers. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that being a parent in general, but a father in particular, is an amazing privilege. But my word, what a responsibility. What a responsibility. Fathers, if you are standing there and you do not feel the weight of this on your shoulders, you don't get it. You need to look at the Bible afresh and see the responsibility placed on you. It's a joyful thing. It's a great thing. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. It's the best thing on the world in the world apart from knowing Jesus and getting married. Don't laugh. But it's a massive responsibility. Why? Because when we stand before the Lord, us fathers will be asked to give an account of our families. And to especially whether they know Jesus and have put their faith in him. That's the responsibility. So fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't be unfair. Don't be harsh. And the big one, don't be a hypocrite. Instead, bring them up in discipline. Teach and train them in what is right. That's what discipline is. If you like, it's a pathway. And the pathway is marked. And you can stray off the path, but discipline is where you're walking the path and you're encouraged to keep walking that path. This is right. This is good. My son, my daughter, this is what you should be doing. Keep going. Discipline them. Keep going. When they start to veer, correct them. Say, no, that's not the way. That brings us on to the second thing, instruction. The word is actually admonition. It's teaching and warning what is wrong. It's saying, stay here because over there it's bad. Over there are dangers. Over there are pitfalls. Over there are snares. That is not a good place to be. Here is the place you want to be. This is the way that you want to walk. So bring them up in discipline. Read the Bible. Pray with them. Teach them how to read the Bible. Teach them how to pray. Encourage them to be part of church. Strengthen them in faith. Share your faith with them. and instruct them. Instruct them of the dangers of sin, of self-righteousness, of wrong religion, of temptations of the world. And do this of the Lord. Teach them about life in general, yes, sure. But about the Lord above all else. Now, this is such a small sentence, but it is a weighty instruction. And please don't make the mistake of thinking that this is just applicable to children under 11 or children under 12. This is just as applicable, if not more so in one way, to teenagers, when you're parenting teenagers. Read the Bible with them. Pray with them. Encourage them in their faith. Encourage them to be part of church. Share your faith with them. Warn them of sin. Warn them of self-righteousness. Warn them of wrong religion. Warn them of the temptations of the world. Let me put it this way. The job of lovingly, graciously, and humbly bringing your children and teenagers up to both know and follow Jesus in every day of their life, but also to know the dangers and pitfalls they will need to avoid, that job falls first and foremost on fathers. You are pastors of your families. Now, don't panic. God has given you all you need. He has put your spirit in you if you are a believer. He has given you his words, what to say and how to go about saying it in the Bible. He has given you prayer so that you can both call out to him in blind panic and pray for your children. In one sense, this is so simple. In one sense, this is so hard. Do the things that God has said and leave the rest up to him. That is your job. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. That's saying, my son, go this way, don't go that way. And whether they go this way or go that way, that's up to them and Jesus. Your job is to say, go this way. So men, let me ask you four questions. And wives, women, let me encourage you not to fill their shoes. Let them pastor their families. Let them shepherd their children. So men, let me ask you these four questions. Number one, how is your relationship with Jesus? How is your relationship with Jesus? Not theirs, not your wives, yours. You can't bring your children up to know and follow him if you are far from him yourself. They might get the message, but they will spot the hypocrite. Question two, how are you doing at bringing them up in the discipline of the Lord? When do you read the Bible with them? And let me say, especially for teenagers, when do you read the Bible with them? When do you pray with them? How do you model living as a follower of Jesus to them? When do they get to hear of your joys and your failures in sharing the gospel with others? Question three, how are you instructing them about the dangers of life and faith? What are you teaching them about resisting temptation? How are you helping them to get ready to stand firm in faith in the trials of life? Who is teaching them how to think biblically about the world they live in? Who is shaping their thinking on same-sex attraction, on alcohol, on swearing, on drugs, on sex? Is it you? Is it their teachers? Is it their friends? It should be you. And fourth question, how do your children view you? Now, you may want to ask them, you may not, but certainly speak to your wife. Ask her, how do my children view me? Do they look up to you, thankful that you are their dad? Or are they full of resentment because you are unfair or harsh or simply a hypocrite? Or maybe they're just full of apathy because they don't see the word of God making a difference to you. They don't see it making a difference in your life. There is much we could say on this, but there just isn't enough time. Let me say, please don't neglect or ignore this calling. Parents not actively and intentionally discipling their children, especially teenagers, it's decimating the church in the UK. Leonie, can you stand up for me? Come out. There you come. Okay, for every one person, Leonie is somebody who's come to faith, all right? Come to faith, put a trust in Jesus. Front three rows, can you stand up for me? For every one of Leonie, there's 26 people that walk away. And 16 of them are children and teenagers. For every one person, 16 children and teenagers walk away. And the number one cause, parents not pastoring their children. Okay, have a seat. Yeah, there's a bigger reason why this is important. God is our Heavenly Father. He made us fathers to reflect Him, to show and teach our children what He is like. And even when we fail, in fact, especially when we fail, we get to do this because we get to say, I am not your Heavenly Father, but He is. This is how I've got it wrong, but He will not get that wrong. If we choose not to do this, if we choose not to do verse 4, if we let it fall by the wayside, if we leave it up to our wives, then we are putting the souls of our children in eternal peril. Now, life is messy and complicated, so I'm sure this has raised a whole load of questions. I'm going to very quickly think of a few of them. Maybe you're thinking that I don't have enough time to actively do this. I've got a job to do. I've got work to do, and I come home late. I get that. But please make sure that this isn't a smokescreen for I don't want to do this. We make time for the things that are important to us, right? Even if it's scratched time, grabbed time, we make time for the things that are important to us. So check your heart. But I get it. Sometimes life is hard. So don't worry. If you care about it, you will do it. Your wife is your helper, so delegate. Don't defer. Delegate to them. Say, please, could you do this? Because I can't make it home tonight in time. But don't just leave it up to her. It will be messy. You'll be scratching 5 minutes here and there, but you will do it because you care about it. That's another question. Surely Gav, Andrew, youth group leaders, children's group leaders, surely they're better equipped to do this to my children. No. Firstly, I think you overestimate their ability. And they would be the first to agree. They are not Jesus. And they are not your children's parents. Only you are. And besides, they only have 30 minutes to an hour with your children a week. Just think of the time you have. But second, this isn't about competence, but about conviction. You are not responsible for doing a powerful work in them. He is. Your job is to trust Him and obey Him and to do the things that He says you should do and leave the rest up to Him. So do you believe that? Do you believe that simply teaching this, opening up the Bible and even just reading it, I say just, simply reading it with your children is the best and greatest thing that you can do as a parent, as a father? Do you believe that? Next question, what about single parents? Friends, this is tough. Let me say, you are not alone. Please don't think you are a single parent on your own. You're not. You're a single parent in a church, which means you have loads of father-like and mother-like people around you to help. So please, feel free to ask for help. Church family, especially us men, please be on the lookout for people that you can be father-like to and help, that you can be mother-like 2. And if you are a single parent, then there is grace for you. The Lord knows our situations. He knows what we can and what we can't do. So find grace and peace in this. What if your father is not a Christian? Again, this is tough. The Lord knows your situation. He can use it and work through it. So trust him. Walk that knife edge of submitting to your husband while making up for the vacuum of his lack of faith that leaves in your family. It's a balancing act. It's really hard. But remember this, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 14, God takes messy relationships into account. Trust your children will not be disadvantaged eternally by their earthly father's lack of faith. And then last question, am I saying that if I read the Bible, pray, and do these things, then they will be saved? No. Ephesians 2 verse 8, we are saved by grace through faith. And this is a work of God so that no one can boast. Not even a great father can boast. My child is a Christian because of what I've done. No. The only thing us fathers can boast about is I've done what Jesus told me to do and he's done the rest. Or I've done what Jesus has told me to and I'm trusting him with my son or daughter that is not walking with the Lord. God has graciously made you the primary means by which they hear the good news and believe in growing faith. So let's do this job. Now, we spend most of the time thinking about fathers. There's one area of life that is left to consider, working relationships. We're only going to spend literally a few moments thinking about this because of the two things, families or workplaces. I think that being faithful in our families is the bigger need for us in this moment of history. Especially you guys sitting here, I look around and I see people who have got great work ethics. You guys know how to be Christians in the workplaces. There's workplace ministry going up in London. There's lots of good things going on. But the UK is in desperate need of fathers who will disciple their children. And let's grow in that, as well as being good workers and masters. Now have a look with me, verses 5-9. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, only when they're looking, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Whether you are a worker or a master, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you are ultimately serving him. Now, the closest thing today that we have to this is talking about slaves and servants and all those sorts of things, household workers. The closest thing, and it's not an exact match, is we've got employees and employers. And the ideal is obviously when you've got a Christian manager and a Christian employee. Isn't that right, Mark or Kirsten? Kirsten works in the same college as Mark. He's her line manager. That's great. They've got it sorted, haven't you? Yeah? Yes. Great. That's the ideal. But whether you are a worker or a master, following Jesus, you are ultimately serving him. So workers, obey and serve your masters as you would Christ. That phrase, as you would Christ, as bondservants of Christ, whether your boss is looking or not, or is even aware of what you do or not, you work hard because Jesus is your true master and you work hard for him. And then masters, don't threaten your workers, but remember that Jesus is your master too. Jesus is master of both you and them. He is master of you both, and he wants you to be a master over them the way that he is a master over you. I mean, just think, does Jesus ever threaten anyone? Do this or else I'll smack you in the mouth. Do we ever see Jesus doing that? No. Do this or else I will fire you from the kingdom of heaven. No. Not in that threatening way. He does tell us the consequences of our actions. But he doesn't threaten for threatening's sake just to make them do what he wants us to do. He is impartial. He won't overlook you being harsh just because you're a manager or a boss or you even own the company. That is not a good enough reason for being harsh with your employees. Let me finish with these words. We're out of time. Ephesians 5 verses 1 to 2. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The good news of Jesus is our greatest reason for living this way. The new life he has given us to live through his death and resurrection. Jesus died to give you this life. So get on with it. Live it. And leave the rest up to him. And the good news of Jesus is our greatest example of living this way. Friends, lift your eyes to Jesus and our Heavenly Father. See the Son obeying his Heavenly Father perfectly, even to death. That's our example. See the Son achieving redemption and new life and forgiveness of sins for us through his obedience. And see the Heavenly Father being a good Father who brings his wayward children back to him. Let's be like that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. Please help us earthly fathers, us earthly parents, to be like that to our children. Help us when it's messy. Give us grace, we pray. But help us to do these things and trust you in everything else. And Lord, please, would you bless our children, help our children to honor and obey us as we should. And Lord, bless us in our workplaces. Help us to serve Jesus, our true master. Amen.